Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see every one of you here this morning in this cold, freezing February day that is Texas winter. Lovely to have you all here. Please rise in body or spirit for our first hymn, hymn 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. It's in the blue hymnal.
Unitarian Universalists, begin our services with the lighting of the chalice. This morning, the Matula family will light our chalice. Today, our chalice lighting words include hand gestures. Please see your order of service for the words and gestures noted in brackets. And let's stand. It'll be easier to do the gestures standing. We light this chalice to celebrate Unitarian Universalism. This is a church of the open mind, the loving hearts, and the helping hands. We take care of the earth and each other. You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Paul Patterson, and I am this morning's lay worship leader. Welcome to Wildflower Church, a Unitarian Universalist congregation. This congregation is a place where we come to learn more about making a positive contribution to the human community. Whether it's your first time here to worship or your 100th time, we hope that you'll find here questions that stretch your mind, people to befriend you, and liberal religious values that challenge you to join us in growing spiritually together. To our first time and returning visitors, I offer a special welcome, and I invite you all for refreshments and conversation in the community room after the service. That's the building to your left as you exit the sanctuary. Please know that assisted hearing devices are available, and if you need one, a greeter will help you. Now let's take a moment to welcome the people sitting near you, especially those you don't know very well. Every Sunday, the Unitarian Universalist principles that we affirm and promote are listed on the back page of your order of worship. But today, we will recite an intergenerational version of these principles as our unison reading. Please refer to the inside page of your order of worship. We believe that each and every person is important, that all people should be treated fairly and kindly, that we should accept one another and keep on learning together, that each person must be free to search for what is true and right in life, that all persons should have a vote about the things that concern them. In working for a peaceful, fair, and free world, in caring for our planet Earth, the home we share with all living things.
I sent out an announcement on Wednesday, but church member Susan Mestier died unexpectedly on Tuesday. Her clubhouse group had a memorial service, which a number of us attended on Thursday. Many of us remember Susan as someone very passionate about social justice. She was also a person that had many struggles in her life and overcame many of them, coped with some of them, but ended up suffering a great deal we light that candle in memory of Susan. I received a message this morning that longtime member and former choir director Barbara Dickens died yesterday. And I know that's a shock to many of us. Barbara had been in hospice for almost a year. And in many ways, typical of Barbara, she lived to the end with a great spirit fighting away. But she died yesterday, and there will be an announcement about it. But I light that second candle in memory of Barbara and the loving spirit she was. As life will happen, Elkie and I, in planning this service, had actually selected a song by Barbara to be sung by the choir, and they're going to sing it now. May the memories of both Barbara and Susan stay with us, and may we think of their friends and family at this time. I'd like to invite children of all ages forward for a time for all ages. And since this is an intergenerational service, you will not be leaving afterwards. You get to stay for the whole service. Aren't you excited about that? What's that? Good morning, every one of you. Good morning, Zyla. How are you? Good. You all look very happy. Well, you know, normally I tell you a story, but I actually have a book today, and it's one of my favorite books when I was a child, and some of you may know it. The Little Train That Could. Yep. I see a lot of the adults are going, oh, I need to come forward now to see this. I like that one. It's not one of his usual boring stories. It's quite a good book. But this is by Wattie Piper. And, you know, today's service, we're going to talk about, like, persistence and perseverance and how do we keep doing things when things are not working out. And I think this is one of the best stories about that. Thank you, Ira. Ira's providing sound effects for me here. Chuck, 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 puff, 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 ding, dong, ding, dong. The little train rumbled over the tracks. She was a happy little train. For she had a jolly load to carry. Her cars were filled full of good things for boys and girls. There were toy animals, giraffes with long necks, teddy bears with almost no necks at all, and even a baby elephant. I like the baby elephant. Then there were dolls, dolls with blue eyes and yellow curls, dolls with brown eyes and brown bobbed heads, and the funniest little toy clown you have ever seen. He looks like a friendly clown. That one can be, some can be scary, but he looks friendly, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Joko
is a bad one. Oh, yes. But he's a good one. And there were cars full of toy engines, airplanes, tops, jackknives, pictures, puzzles, books, and every kind of thing boys and girls could want. But that was not all. Some of the cars were filled with all sorts of good things for boys and girls to eat. Big golden oranges, red-cheeked apples, bottles of creamy milk for the breakfast, fresh spinach for the dinner. We talked about food last night. Who likes spinach? Last week? You do? Okay.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
I didn't ask that question. I knew some of you wouldn't like spinach. I don't really like spinach either. Peppermint drops and lollipops for after-meal treats. The little train was carrying all these wonderful things to the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain. She puffed along merrily. Then all of a sudden, she stopped with a jerk. She simply could not go another inch. She tried and she tried, but her wheels would just not turn. What were all the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain going to do without the wonderful toys to play with and the good food to eat, including the spinach? "Here comes a shiny new engine," said the funny little clown who jumped out of the train. Let us ask him to help us." So all the dolls and toys cried out together, "Please, shiny new engine, won't you please pull over our train over the mountain? Our engine has broken down and the boys and girls on the other side won't have any toys to play with or good food to eat unless you help us." But the shiny new engine snorted. "I? Pull you? I am a passenger engine. I have just carried a fine big train over the mountain with more cars than you have ever dreamed of. My train had sleeping cars with comfortable berths, dining car where waiters bring whatever hungry people want to eat, and parlor cars in which people sit in soft armchairs and look out of the big plate glass windows. I pull the likes of you." And off he steamed to the roadhouse where engines live when they are not busy. Well, he was kind of mean. "How sad," the little train said, the little train, and all the dolls and toys felt. Then the little clown called out, "The passenger engine is not the only train. It's not the only one in the world. Here is another engine coming, a great big strong one. Let us ask him for help." The little town clown waved his flag, and the big strong engine came to a stop. "Please, oh please, big engine," cried all the dolls and toys together. "Won't you please pull our train over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the good little boys and girls on the other side won't have any toys to play with or good food to eat unless you help us." But the big strong engine bellowed, "I am a freight engine. I have just pulled a big train loaded with big machines over the mountain. These machines print books and newspapers for grown-ups to read. I am a very important engine indeed. I won't pull the likes of you." And the freight engine pulled off indignantly to the roadhouse. That wasn't very nice. The little train and all the other dolls and toys were very sad. "Cheer up," cried the little toy clown. "The freight engine isn't the only one in the world. Here comes another. He looks very old and tired, but our train is so little, perhaps he can help us." So the little toy clown waved his flag, and the dingy, rusty old train stopped. "Please, kind engine," cried all the dolls and toys together. "Won't you please pull our train over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the boys and girls on the other side won't have any toys to play with or good food to eat unless you help us." But the rusty old engine sighed. "I am so tired. I must rest my weary wheels. I cannot pull even so little a train as yours over the mountain. I cannot. And off he rumbled to the roadhouse chugging, I cannot. Then indeed the little train was very, very sad, and the dolls and toys were ready to cry. But the little clown called out, "Here is another engine coming, a little blue engine, a very little one. Maybe she will help us." The very little engine came chug, chug, chugging merrily along, and when she saw the toy clown's flag, she stopped quickly. "What's the matter, my friend?" she asked kindly. "Oh, little blue engine," cried the dolls and toys, "will you pull us over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the good boys and girls on the other side won't have a chance to play with their toys or to have good food to eat unless you help. Please, please, please help us, little blue engine." "I'm not very big," said the little blue engine. "They use me only for switching trains in the yard. I have never been over the other side of the mountain." "But we must get over the mountain before the children awake," said all the dolls and toys. The very little engine looked up and saw the tears in the dolls' eyes, and she thought of the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain who would not have any toys or good food to eat unless she helped. Then she said, I think I can. And she hitched herself to the little train. She tugged and pulled and pulled and tugged, and slowly, 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 they started off. The toy clown jumped aboard, and all the dolls and toys, animals, began to smile and cheer. Puff, puff, chug, chug, went the little engine. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Up, faster, the little engine climbed, until at last they reached the top of the mountain, and down in the valley lay the city. "Hurry, hurry," cried the funny little clown, and all the dolls and toys, the good little boys and girls in the city will be happy, because you helped us, kind little blue engine. And the little blue engine smiled and seemed to say, as she puffed steadily down the mountain, I thought I could. And I love that story. And I actually think there's two heroes in that story. The little engine that helped is amazing, because it did something it wasn't sure it could, but to help other people. But you know who I think the other person that's a hero in that? It's a toy clown. The toy clown was terrific because he never gave up. Every time everyone else was down, he'd jump up and go, "Let's ask this one." And he just kept asking for help until eventually he found it. So I think that both the little train that could and the little clown that asked for help are the heroes of that story. So thank you for listening. And have you got an answer? And can you remain seated, please? Because we're going to watch a video now that's related to the story. It's okay. Oh, we've got no sound. I don't know what's happening, there's no music. Okay, we'll give up on it. Don't worry about it. It might be that. No, we'll leave it for now. It worked fine in rehearsal. And it was really good. You should have been here early because you'd have really enjoyed it. Why is it not working? I have no idea. It's a little train that can't. But thank you. You can go back to your seats now. And if we can get it working later, we'll try. But I don't think we will. But if nothing else, the choir got some exercise. So. Well, I've got a couple of announcements for Community Matters. This afternoon at 1:15 in our community room, the Reverend Jim Rigby, a very, very well-known progressive Presbyterian pastor, will be talking about hope for activists. How can people sustain themselves as they engage in activism, which is badly needed in our country right now? And Jim is a great speaker. He is a good friend of Wildflower, and he's very active in activism himself. And then next Sunday after worship, I will be leading a workshop. It was actually postponed from January when I was ill, on Unitarian Universalist social justice history. We have a very, very rich tradition generally, but our social justice work is something that we as a movement and Wildflower as a congregation are very proud of. So I'll be focusing from 1:30 till 3:30 talking about Unitarian Universalism, social justice history. I invite you now to join me in the spirit of prayer and meditation and reflection. Spirit of life and love, Spirit of community gathered here, we are thankful for this time together as an intergenerational community spanning 4-5 generations. Each of us are a gift to each other, We learn from each other. We help each other. We share our stories with each other. And that brings each of us closer and closer to the divine. We sometimes struggle. We think of Susan's family and friends. We think of Barbara's families and friends with their passing this week. And we think of those in this room who have lost people important to them, be they family members or friends, be they church members. And we try and bring the spirits closer to us at this time. We are also sorry for those times where we do not live to our highest values, our ideals, our principles, where we strive to be the kind, caring persons that we wish to be, and anger, jealousy, greed get in the way. We are sorry for those times, and we promise to do better today than we did yesterday, and promise to try and do better tomorrow than we do today. And through that, we will bring ourselves closer and closer to our higher ideals and the better angels of our nature. And we are thankful for this powerful gift of life. This life that we did nothing to earn or deserve, but which is given to us through grace. We will strive to live a life that was worth living. And may we be an inspiration to those around us and those to come. I invite you to join me in silence. Blessed be, and amen.
Our congregation is entirely self-governed by democratic process. One of the privileges of our free church tradition is to provide from among ourselves all the financial support for our many ministries. Generosity, therefore, is one of the spiritual values we recognize as central to our personal and our institutional well-being. The ushers will now come among you to accept gifts from the congregation. If you are visiting with us for the first time, please let the plate pass, as your presence here is gift enough. Please give as generously as you are able, and the offering will now be given. And thank you for your generosity. I would like to share with you an example of where persistence in my life has benefited me. Some of you know that I play guitar. I started as a young teenager with dreams of becoming a rock star. I thought if I could just get past my lesson on Red River Valley, I'm sure I could learn to master the lightning-fast lead guitar of Deep Purple or the soulful melodies of Pink Floyd. But as I grew older, friends, college and career took my attention toward other endeavors. I still played off and on, but not that consistently. And when I became a father, suddenly there was little time for the guitar, and the instrument that sat in the corner of my room was now tucked away in the back of a closet. When my boys got older and had less interest in hanging out with Dad, I found that I had spare time. So in my mid-40s, I started guitar lessons again. By this time, I had developed a strong interest in playing jazz standards in chord melody style. Chords like D minor, 7th flat 5 and F minor 9th major 7th stretched me beyond my comfort zone. I still don't understand how a chord can be both a minor 9th and a major 7th at the same time, but music theory was never a strong suit for me. Today, I play guitar mostly as a hobby. I find it very relaxing and therapeutic. Every couple of months, I get inspired by a certain jazz recording and decide, I'm going to try to learn this song. I persist, picking up the pace of my practice, trying different chord shapes and fingerings. Sometimes things seem to just fall in place, and I learn the song well enough to be recognizable. Maybe not quite performance ready, but I can say that persistence paid off. I added another song to my list. I feel jazzed when that happens. I get a real feeling of accomplishment when doing something by myself, the way I want to do it, and the outcome is what I'd hoped for. But other times, the song doesn't come together, even as I persist. I get frustrated with certain parts, and I just can't work it out. And when this happens, I often decide it's time for a break. I'll put that song aside and play songs I've learned previously, or maybe noodle around a medley or melody or chord progression of my own. I find a diversion can give me a fresh perspective when I come back to that song later. For those of you who enjoy hearing live music or making some of your own, let me remind you of the upcoming Wildflower Hootenanny, which is coming up on Saturday, March 11th. Look in the newsletter or on our website for more information. Laurie and I will be performing at least one jazz standard. Now, learning a song in the solitude of my living room is one thing. Performing a song in front of an audience is quite another. So I guess it's time to apply some perseverance and start practicing. Okay. If you will stand, we will sing hymn number 1051, We Are in the Teal Hymnal.
Good morning, everyone. Is this working? Okay. We have a second time for all ages, so I hope y'all will come up here and join me. I need a little bit of help. Excellent. Thank you. Hi. Okay. Well, once upon a time, there was a donkey. It was a stupid, stubborn, mean old donkey. Y'all saw him on your picture pages. And even the farmer who owned it did not like him. The farmer owned a large property, and one day he heard in the distance the loud, distinctive sound of his donkey. What does a donkey sound like? That's it. That's what he heard. He wondered what that stupid donkey had done now, so he looked all over his property until at last he found the animal at the bottom of an old abandoned well. What was he supposed to do? Exasperated, the farmer rang his neighbors and asked him each to bring a shovel. He'd had enough of that stupid donkey, so he decided to bury it in the well. All his friends came over, and together they started to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey protested loudly. What did he sound like? That's it. And then after about 10 minutes, he was quiet. So the farmers kept shoveling. Then after a while, that farmer went and looked in the well, and he was surprised. He was astonished because instead of being buried, that donkey was dodging all the dirt, shaking it off as it came on him, and then stepping up on that dirt. And so every time they shoveled dirt in, that donkey was shaking off the dirt. Can y'all show me what he was doing? Shaking it off. That's it. He was shaking it off. Right. Exactly. So the mission changed, and the farmers went from trying to bury the donkey to trying to save him, shoveling more and more dirt into the abandoned well until that donkey jumped out of the well victorious. Upon his release, the farmers all dropped their shovels and applauded this old stubborn beast with a newfound admiration. You know, there are times in life when it seems as though we are being buried like that donkey, trapped and feeling as though life is trying to bury us. And we, too, need to shake off that dirt and come out of that well. Yes. Perfect.
Maybe we should cage him so that he could stop doing that.
Oh. Well, now he's not going to fall in that well because they filled it with dirt, right? Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to have a reflection, but y'all can go back to your seats. I was asked to write about persistence and perseverance because I've had a lot of experience in it in the past few months. Let's see, I broke my wrist, I had surgery to put a pin in it, Nathan got the flu, my 16-year-old, Jacob, who's 19, had two trips to the ER for a severely cut finger, I sold my house and I started a new job 3 days after my surgery. That was just the past 3 weeks. Not to mention the past 6 months, when my mother died, I got a divorce and moved to an apartment. All that has happened, yet I find myself telling people that I am happier than I have ever been in my life. I think this is because I have taken charge of my life and I've worked hard to accomplish the goals I set for myself. Like the donkey, I realized it is up to me to shake off the dirt, step up on it, and use it to become stronger. I don't fight it, I learn from it. How do I do that? How do I persevere? I do it by setting big goals to accomplish, then I break each goal into manageable steps. Since those goals are meaningful to me, I will do whatever it takes to make them happen. I allow myself to feel the emotions, but I try not to dwell and overthink things. I'm too busy and too tired at the end of the day to worry. I get it all done by making lots of lists and checking them frequently. You know, it's very satisfying to mark off all the items I have accomplished. I also want to mention that I am on anti-anxiety medication. I could not accomplish all this without it, and there should not be a stigma attached to it. When I am in emotional or physical pain, I have a tendency to turn inward. When I was in the ER last month, the nurse asked me if I was okay because I was so quiet and stoic. I realized that is how I handle difficulties. I have to learn how to turn to my friends and community to ask for and accept help. Because I have not been good at asking, because it is important to me to be independent and resourceful. When I was asked if I wanted meals delivered to me, my first impulse was to say no, but I said yes. I went against my nature so that I could do what was best for me and my child. And I am so grateful to all those that helped me after my injury. I am filled with joy to experience the love from this church community and to know that I am supported by loving friends. One of my motivations is my children, not just my three sons, but also the children of Wildflower, all my Crockett Band kids, and my fur baby Shiloh. They need a strong mentor to show them how to weather a storm and smile and laugh while it's happening. I have to show them it's okay to be upset, but we have to pick ourselves up and go on. One of the most important ways I persevere is by having fun and finding the joy in each moment. Last week, my son Nathan and I, he's 16, went to HEB. You know, getting groceries can be a chore, and it's busy at the store, but we were reminded to find the joy when we saw a man with a baby in the carrier on his chest. He was gently dancing and singing to his daughter. By the time we were walking by him, he was all out dancing and singing to the disco song. Nathan and I were then dancing and singing to Rockstar. We were laughing and having a great time. I am also reminded of the Monty Python song in The Life of Brian. Always look on the bright side of life. You know the song. When life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. My boys and I love to play and joke. We play games like cornhole and pool, go to concerts and trivia nights. I enjoy going out with friends, and I also love to dance. And unlike the donkey, I'm going to dance while getting that dirt off of me. We celebrate the big and small milestones with many fun experiences and treats. My dog inspires me too. You know dogs find the joy in everyday things, walks, car rides, treats, and being with the people they love. They may seem like small things, but they are the big things. They are the sweet moments of life to live for and enjoy. My children and I deserve to be happy, and I am strong and determined to persevere and live a happy life. One of my favorite quotes is, "If you saw the size of the blessing coming, you would understand the magnitude of the battle you are fighting." Thank you.
Thank you, Terry and the choir. That was fun. I want to draw your attention to the front of the order of service, a quote from Maya Angelou. It says, "You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeats so you can know who you are, what you can rise from, and how you can still come out of it." Now, this service was in persistence, but I actually thought it might be better to call it Celebrating Our Failures. Because I think that's really a lot about what persistence is. It's kind of dealing with our failures. And we had a good failure with the projector earlier in the service. Maybe I wasn't persistent enough. But I want to, when we see famous people and when we look at social media and Facebook, we always see, I sometimes feel we're comparing our behind-the-scenes rehearsal with everyone else's highlight reel. You know, you see the great things people are doing, the stuff their children are achieving, and you're just trying to get your child to eat a vegetable. And they're talking about these things. And I think, so we often compare our struggles and failures with everyone else's successes. And when we really think about it, we know everyone has struggles and failures. So I'm going to read this, and this is a very famous person that I'm willing to bet everyone in this room knows. And here's his story. I gave you a clue. He's male. His family was forced out of their home and he had to work to support them. His mother died. He failed in business, ran for state legislature, lost. Also lost his job, wanted to go to law school, couldn't get in. Borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off the debt, ran for state legislature, won, was engaged to be married, his sweetheart died, and his heart was broken. Had a total nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. Sought to become Speaker of the state legislature, lost. Sought to become elector, lost. Ran for Congress, lost. Ran for Congress again. This time he won, went to Washington, did a good job, but did not get re-elected. Sought the job of land officer, rejected. Ran for Senate, lost. Sought vice presidential nomination at his party's national convention, got 100 votes. Ran for Senate again, lost. He was eventually elected President of the United States. That's Abraham Lincoln. Now, when we think of Abraham Lincoln, we think of, many would regard, one of our best presidents. Maybe not so much in the South, but certain parts of the United States, we would consider him one of our best presidents. And what you hear that was these categories of failure. And what he said about this was quite interesting. This is Abraham Lincoln's quote. He said, the path was worn and slippery. My foot slipped from under me, knocking the other out of his way. But I recovered and said to myself, it's a slip, not a fall. That was after losing a Senate race. And one who never fails will really never learn to appreciate succeeding. And I think when you look at persistence, persistence is basically failing and keep going. And the video that I was trying to play was a song called Just Keep Going On. And you think of the story of the little train that could. It wasn't sure it could do it, but it was going to try. And it tried and it tried and it succeeded. But also, it could have failed. But I think so much of life is showing up and trying. And I would encourage trying as a spiritual practice. We always think of spiritual practice as sitting in your room in peace and quiet. But you ever thought of the persistence of practicing and trying? Just practicing trying, showing up. for things. I tried to get Paul to play his guitar today to demonstrate some of those weird chords he was talking about, but he wouldn't do it. So. Wise move, Paul, wise move. But when you think as people of faith, how do we engage, you know, this idea of persistence and perseverance? And it's funny, actually, when you look at the definition, they say persistence is negative, like the persistent telemarketer that gives you a phone call in the middle of your dinner, and perseverance is positive. I actually don't see it that way. I think persistence can be positive too, where you keep trying things. And there's one way you, what motivates you to keep trying something, even when it's failing? I think there could be numerous reasons. As people of faith and many people who are religious, they feel they've got God on their side and they're doing the right thing. And I think the question that Abraham Lincoln asked was very poignant. He said, I think it's less important to ask whether God's on our side than if we're in God's side. And when I hear that, when are we in God's side, does that mean are we living to the best of our ideals, our values? Are we living to the best of our principles? That to me is what it means to be on God's side, to be on the side of the divine. And, you know, the idea of God can be interesting. And I always loved the story of George Washington Carver, who many of you know was a great African-American inventor. And the Carver Museum, just up north, northeast of here, is named after him. And he developed hundreds of useful products based on the peanut. And when he was young, he said to God, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is only reserved for me alone. So I said to God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. And God said, well, George, that's much more nearly your size. And he told me. And I love that idea of, like, you know, we sometimes have these grandiose ideas for ourselves, but really what success is doing the small things really well. Because none of us can really do the big things by ourselves. As Penny talked about in her reflection, I mean, she was trying to do things for herself, but she asked for help when she needed it. And that's a really important exercise, and that's part of persistence. Persistence is not about doing it all ourselves. Persistence is about doing what we can, and when we need help, hold out that hand and say, help me God, help me Wildflower community, help me neighbors. And when we hear that call, like in the story of the little train that could, our response is, I will try. So the idea of both sides of that, persistence and trying, is a spiritual practice for us. And I love the story of the donkey in the well. I was talking to Penny about that story, and I really love it. Because what sometimes persistence is not trying to do, even if it's the right thing, not trying to do the same thing the same way again and again. I think one of the miracles of the humanity is our flexibility and our adaptability. It's not that we're actually smarter than any other animals. It's not that we're stronger, we're faster. We're more flexible and more adaptive. And I think the donkey in that story is a great example of adapting to a bad situation. I mean, getting buried alive in a well is as bad as things get, really. I can't think of much else that's worse. And the donkey was able to adapt to that situation. And one of the things about persistence and adapting to change, it builds resilience. And I think resilience is one of the most important aspects of humanity. Resistance as individuals to deal with hardships, because we cannot avoid struggles. We can't avoid losing our family members. We can't avoid ill health. We can't avoid disappointments in things that we wanted on our relationships. But we can adapt to that situation. And I want to hold up Wildflower Church as a community that's resilient and adaptive. And some of the newer people here may not be familiar, but 5 years ago, this church was in a very difficult place. Well, in the last, certainly 5 to 3 years ago. And as many of the longtime members here showed great resilience in keeping this church going. And it's a vibrant, happy, great place now, but I think it's remember that part of that happiness, part of that strength of this community, is for those people who stuck with this congregation in tough times because they'd been badly let down by a number of ministers in this congregation. And it would have been very easy for many people to leave. But they stayed here, and they worked, and they built this community into the great place it is now. And there was no guarantee of success. So there's a number of people here, and I'm sure they'll share their stories during fellowship time if you want. They showed great resilience. And why did they show that resilience? Because they believed in the community. They believed in the potential and the possibility. They had seen how good they could be. And they weren't willing to give up. The past did not define the future. And even the present didn't define the future. They saw a vision of what this community could be. And I think this church, Wildflower Unitarian Universalist Church, is stronger. It's a resilient place. And it's a persistent place. And those are going to serve us well, because in the days ahead, I'm sure there'll be struggles that we'll have. So that makes it all the more important to enjoy and celebrate the good things that are happening now. It's hard to build resilience into a community. But when you think of metal, what happens with resilience? If you bend a piece of metal and bend it back, some metals become stronger when they're bent back, and others become weaker. I think we can be proud as a community that we have become stronger, we have become more resilient through our struggles. And I think that's a spiritual practice in itself. How are we going to respond to our struggles? How are we going to keep going from failure to failure? Winston Churchill has a great comment of, being persistent is basically going from one failure to the next without losing enthusiasm. Going from one failure to the next without losing enthusiasm. I like that. So let's not lose our enthusiasm. There's many things in our country right now that are going to test our resilience. They're going to test our persistence. And there's many things in our life that will do that. And when you're really struggling, remember we have each other, we have this community. We have family and friends, and there's not part of resilience is reaching out when we need help. I invite you to rise in body or spirit for a final hymn, Fire of Commitment, hymn 1028. Are we committed to failing?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's you and me, Erin. Because persistence is about failing, and it is about going from one failure to the next. But you only stumble if you're moving forward. And my goal in life, and I ask it to be your goal, is to let's make brand new mistakes. Let's not repeat the past. Let's be out there doing things, pushing boundaries, and be persistent. I ask you, let's commit to failing gladly with enthusiasm. Go with love, go in love. Amen.